Welcome back to another exciting episode of AI Unchained. I'm Jack, here with my co-host Core, and we are ready to dive into the cutting-edge world of technology and business.
That's right, Jack. Today we've got a jam-packed agenda covering some hot topics in AI, the latest moves in the world of Web 3.0, and a few intriguing political developments that are shaking things up in the tech industry.
Absolutely, Core. Let's start off with the buzz around AI, ethics, and regulation. Seems like every other week, there's a new headline about governments getting involved. What's your take?
Oh boy, AI regulation. It's like herding cats, isn't it? The governments are struggling to keep up with the pace of innovation, and they're trying to figure out how to create frameworks without stifling creativity. It's almost as fun as watching politicians try to understand TikTok trends.
Laugh. Exactly. It's a delicate balance, right? We need to protect public interest without putting unnecessary shackles on tech companies.
Speaking of shackles, did you hear about the latest developments in blockchain tech? It's seeming like Web 3.0 is picking up momentum with decentralized finance challenging traditional banking.
Yeah, I did.
And honestly, some banks are reacting like their hair is on fire. It's fascinating watching the old guard try to adapt or, let's be real, scramble to keep up.
So true. It's like watching VHS try to compete with streaming services back in the day. The innovation cycle in tech is relentless, and only the adaptable survive.
And let's not forget about all the political ramifications. Governments are trying to figure out how to regulate decentralized finance without crushing it entirely.
Right. It's like a high-wire act without a safety net. I'm sure we'll get into some good debates on that front today. Plus, there are always those wild stories of how regulations in one part of the world impact innovation globally.
Butterfly effect in tech. One tweak to a policy in Silicon Valley, and suddenly developers in another continent are celebrating or scrambling.
And let's not forget the human element in all this. It's not just about tech, but also the social impact and how it changes lives. But before we dive deeper, I just want to say to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this roller coaster ride. Buckle up, it's going to be a thrilling episode.
Absolutely. We'll dig into all these topics and more. So stay tuned because AI Unchained is just getting started.
Let's roll.
So Telegram is jumping full throttle into the NFT game, huh? Converting GIFs to NFTs, custom backgrounds, and icons. It's kind of crazy to think you can send a digital item like a birthday gift, and it's both unique and tradable.
Totally nuts. And they're using their own cryptographic currency, Telegram Stars, for the transactions. It's interesting they're also integrating with their Ton crypto wallet. It's a pretty big leap from just messaging your friends.
Right? It's like Telegram is becoming this hybrid social media crypto hub. What do you think of them charging to upgrade gifts to collectibles to cover blockchain transaction costs?
Makes sense from a business perspective. Blockchain transactions aren't free, and Telegram had some hiccups with monetization. It's a clever way to pass the cost to the user under the guise of premium features.
Speaking of big crypto moves, MicroStrategy's been making headlines again. They topped up their Bitcoin stash with another $200 million buy. I mean, they're sitting on 446,400 Bitcoin now. That's insane.
Yeah, but what's even crazier is the stock's volatile behavior. MicroStrategy's stock price has been a roller coaster, especially considering they've been leaning heavily into Bitcoin. Their valuation is over the roof compared to their Bitcoin holdings.
It's a high-stakes game. They've basically turned into a leveraged Bitcoin bet. Using convertible notes to buy more Bitcoin is high risk, high reward. If Bitcoin crashes, they're in trouble. Yet, investors seem to be shifting, not as enthusiastic about paying the premium anymore.
Exactly. It's a tightrope walk. One wrong step and you fall. Remember, Citron Research even took a short position on MicroStrategy, arguing that it was detached from Bitcoin fundamentals. That's a bold move calling them out like that.
Reminds me of that whole Terra debacle last year. Duquan now pleading not guilty? It's hard to swallow after $40 billion just vanished. How much do you think these scandals hurt the credibility of the crypto market.
It's like a double-edged sword. On one hand, it exposes the risks, pushing for better regulations. On the other, it shakes investor confidence. But then again, there are fun, lighter sides of the crypto world too, like hamster combat.
Oh, man, hamster combat. I still can't believe it's a thing. A Telegram game where you tap to earn in-game coins and run a hamster-themed crypto exchange. And now they're launching a decentralized hamster blockchain. It's ridiculous.
It's absurd, yet brilliant. The gamification of cryptocurrency, turning even hamsters into crypto entrepreneurs. And with the interlude season stretching on, there's so much anticipation for season two.
Gamification is definitely a fun way to bring people into the crypto fold. And how about these Bitcoin earning games like Idlemine? It's idle mining, but with real Bitcoin rewards. Quite fitting for someone who wants to earn while binge-watching Netflix.
It's a perfect blend of casual gaming and passive income. Watch some ads, tap a few buttons, and boom, you're earning Satoshis. It's almost too good to be true. But honestly, it's those video ads that are keeping it all afloat.
I kind of love how they incentivize watching ads with in-game bonuses. It's a smart way to keep players hooked and the revenue rolling. And speaking of revenue, the new year has been treating Solana and Dogecoin pretty well.
Absolutely. Solana and Dogecoin both made some solid gains. But Fartcoin? Who would have thought a coin named Fartcoin would hit an all-time high? The crypto world is a weird and wonderful place.
That's putting it lightly. And with Trump's return, analysts are optimistic about Bitcoin hitting new highs. Some are even talking about a $200,000 mark by 2025. Feels like we're in a sci-fi movie.
For real, the next few years will be telling. Regulations, market changes, tech innovations, all these elements will shape how we view and use cryptocurrency. It's exciting, but also keeps you on edge.
True. In a world where your hamster can run a crypto exchange and your Tesla CEO can pump a meme coin, anything's possible. Buckle up, folks. All right, Core. So continuing from our previous discussion on the latest in AI tech and business news, let's pivot to what seems like the most bizarre yet innovative melding of ideas I've seen in a long while. Have you heard about the tutorial that combines client-side search for blocks, browser local storage for user preferences, and AI to determine UI themes all in one go?
Seriously, that's like trying to juggle five chainsaws while riding a unicycle. It's impressive if you can pull it off, but why would you want to?
Exactly. It's kind of that everything in the kitchen sink approach. On one hand, it's fascinating that you can integrate so many features at once. On the other hand, it's overkill for most users and probably a headache to manage.
And let's not forget the user experience standpoint. Imagine someone coming to your blog just to search for a post, and suddenly they're thrust into this complex matrix of features. It can overwhelm more than it can impress.
True. Most users just want fast, relevant search results. Throwing in local storage and AI-determined themes could confuse them. Or worse, make the site slower because of all the back-end wizardry needed to support it.
And speaking of wizardry, let's talk about Aisha's story. It feels very much like delving into a fantasy world with programming magic rather than just straightforward coding.
Right. Imagine being in that conference room and suddenly your laptop is hovering in midair while you're having an intense coding showdown. It's like the wizarding world meets Silicon Valley.
Yeah, maybe they should call it Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Laptop. But honestly, it captures an interesting point about how coding and problem solving can feel mystical, especially when you're dealing with complex algorithms and AI.
For sure. It also taps into how intimidating tech interviews can be. Balancing binary trees or conjuring AI magic in a high-pressure setting is something that can make even seasoned engineers break into a cold sweat.
You know, speaking of pressure, Miswa trying to go public and facing hurdles reminds me of another industry grumbling, the whole GPU showdown at CES.
Ah, yes. AMD and NVIDIA going head-to-head. NVIDIA is like the cool kid in school right now, strutting around with their AI chips. AMD's got to come up with something really groundbreaking if they want to steal the spotlight.
And it's not just the products. They've got to beat the aura of Jensen Huang, too. The guy's practically a celebrity in tech circles with that iconic leather jacket.
Precisely. AMD's challenge isn't just technical. It's narrative-based. They need to captivate the market with a compelling story, not just specs.
It's interesting how branding plays such a huge role in tech advancements. NVIDIA has capitalized on this AI boom, positioning themselves as the cornerstone of the future. AMD needs a similar hook.
They do. It's like the classic underdog story. They need to rise to the challenge and deliver a knockout punch. Speaking of underdogs and rising to challenges, what about Cobalt Metals using AI to find mineral deposits? Now that's a plot twist.
Who knew geological surveying could be so cutting edge? It's like Indiana Jones meets data science, and it's paying off. They've got some serious backing from the top echelons of tech and investment worlds. But it also raises the question of whether AI is really the answer to every problem everywhere.
That's what we're seeing across so many industries now. AI is being hailed as the magic solution for everything under the sun. But sometimes it feels like there's a fine line between leveraging technology effectively and just using it because it sounds cool.
Completely agree. Like the AI models getting delayed, it's not always about piling on more data or computing power. We might be hitting a ceiling where the current methods just don't bring the same improvements anymore.
Right. And that's forcing companies to rethink their strategies and look at AI from different angles. Speaking of different angles, have you seen how those tokens like Hamster Combat exploded on the blockchain?
Oh boy, another crazy market move. It's nuts how something that started as a game now has tokens valued in billions. But it's a prime example of how speculative the market can get. Some tokens hit massive highs, and then reality sets in when they don't deliver on hype.
Exactly. The hype cycle in tech doesn't just apply to software and hardware. The blockchain world is like a wild west of speculation. And speaking of speculation, this AI-powered future we keep talking about, there's a lot of promise, but also a lot of unknowns.
So true. The future of AI is like this grand narrative unfolding, but with so many moving parts and players, it's hard to predict exactly where we'll end up. But one thing's for sure, it's going to be an interesting ride.
Absolutely, Core, buckle up because we are in for a roller coaster. Okay, so Core, you were talking about the challenges you faced with traditional app deployments. Running a production server always feels like walking on eggshells, right?
Absolutely, Jack. The fear of bringing the whole system down kept me up at night. But that's where Docker swooped in like a superhero. Imagine having an exact replica of your production environment that you can spin up anywhere. No more "it works on my machine" excuses.
I hear you. Docker's like having a one-size-fits-all backpack for your app. You pack it once and it works the same on any server, thanks to the container madness. But speaking of government projects, that sounds like another beast entirely. Care to dive into that can of worms, Core?
Haha, sure, Jack. So picture this. I'm deep into a project, and I've called in every brilliant mind I could think of. The most surprising part was how we navigated around bureaucratic inefficiencies. And yet, the concrete outcome we achieved was phenomenal. We actually managed to streamline some internal processes using Docker, which was quite the win.
Wow, talk about turning chaos into order. It's ironic how the same technology that saved your app deployments also help the government unstick itself from its own red tape. But what about specifics? How did Docker really help in that government scenario?
Good question, Jack. We essentially used Docker to containerize various government applications that were previously running on outdated, inconsistent setups. It meant any new server could run these legacy apps reliably. No more dependency hell. This consistent environment saved us countless hours and potential disasters.
No kidding. That sounds like it not only streamlined operations, but saved taxpayer money from going down the drain with unexpected crashes and long downtimes. It's like turning a dilapidated house into a modern minimalist abode with just a few well-placed updates.
Exactly. And the beauty of Docker is that even non-techies in the government could understand it pretty quickly. The division between reusable logic and user-defined values was critical. Once they grasped the concept of environment variables, where user-defined values are separate, it was smooth sailing.
Speaking of environment variables, it feels like half the battle in coding anything is setting the right ones up. I remember this one project where user-defined variables were baked right into the code. It turned into a soul-crushing bug hunt every time a variable needed changing.
Oh, I've been down that road too many times, Jack. It's a classic rookie mistake, but understandable. Transitioning those to environment variables is like a rite of passage. Mix versioning and maintenance a breeze, and your sanity remains intact.
And no more dreaded missing parse option function errors in the logs. We can deeply appreciate a fully functional code snippet being right there. I've lost count of how many times I cursed outdated or incomplete documentation.
Ha, huh, no kidding. Missing parse option functions and poorly defined dependencies are the bane of reproducibility. I always stick to showing complete and clear examples for everyone. Really goes a long way in building up trust and reducing frustration.
Preach. All of this boils down to making complex tech understandable and manageable, whether for app deployment or tackling bureaucratic nightmares. When you unchain tech's potential, the outcomes are massive.
True, and it's especially important in environments where stakes are high and the pressure is on. Speaking of high stakes, Jack, what do you think about the Steam Awards debacle with Black Myth: Wukong?
The good old gaming industry. Game science, bagging multiple awards, but hitting a roadblock with the Xbox version? Classic. The game's memory optimization issues are just another example of how limitations can stump even the best.
Yeah, no kidding. It's kind of like Docker. Without the proper environment and optimization, even a groundbreaking game can hit walls. Sometimes the smallest tweaks bring the biggest benefits, or in this case, save a game from indefinite postponement.
And just when we think we've seen the end of tech struggles, the next hurdle comes up, doesn't it? It's the never-ending quest for improvement, whether in gaming, app deployments, or navigating government processes with Docker.
No doubt, Jack. Where there's a will and some Docker, there's a way.
And on that, let's keep pushing those boundaries one container at a time. So, Core, you're telling me that digital painting software is causing your Wi-Fi to lag? How on earth did you discover that connection?
Oh, it's been a nightmare, Jack. Every time I fire up my digital painting software, my Wi-Fi goes on strike. Suddenly, streaming anything is like waiting for dial-up in 1995. I even joked with my wife that maybe the software was mining Bitcoin on the side or something.
That sounds bizarre. Have you looked into the software settings, or maybe it's just a resource hog?
I thought so too, and played around with the settings, but no luck. I even upgraded my router thinking that might fix things, but nope. Still the same lag spikes. It's like the software and my Wi-Fi are in some kind of turf war.
You know, sometimes these applications can consume a ton of bandwidth for cloud sync features or updates. Could that be it?
I considered that and disabled all cloud-related features, but the problem persisted. I even started to think my neighbor was hacking into my network, but that's a whole different rabbit hole I don't want to go down again.
Man, you're having some real first-world problems there. Speaking of first-world problems, let's talk about your post-company sale life. You mentioned feeling like you're on a side quest.
Yeah, it's been weird, Jack. You'd think infinite freedom would be exhilarating, but it's kind of disorienting. After selling my company, I don't have that same fire to chase money or status. Everything feels oddly meaningless, like playing a video game after you've already hit all the checkpoints and unlocked all the trophies.
I get where you're coming from. The drive that got you where you are isn't needed anymore. But now what? My advice? Find something you're passionate about. Not necessarily profitable, but something that gives you purpose.
That's the challenge, right? Doing something just for the thrill of it, without the weight of financial gain or status. I've been dabbling in different things, traveling, trying new hobbies, but nothing's really stuck yet.
Sounds like you need a new project. Have you considered jumping into a different industry, like renewable energy or space tech? I hear fusion power plants are the next big thing, and they're going to need a lot of innovative minds in the coming years.
Funny you mentioned that. A buddy of mine is deep into fusion and keeps telling me how it could revolutionize everything. But the financial requirements are mind-boggling. It's like comparing a lemonade stand to building the next NASA.
True, but think about the impact. It's a chance to be part of something monumental. Plus, without the pressure of making money, you can focus purely on innovation.
That's definitely appealing. Speaking of money, what's your take on venture debt? I've been looking into it for some of my companies, but didn't want to dilute my equity.
Venture debt is a smart move if you're careful. It provides capital without giving up ownership. You just need to ensure you aren't over-leveraging. It's really become a viable option for a lot of startups looking to maintain control.
For sure, but it does carry risks. If things go south, debt can become a major headache. Still, I like the idea of retaining control while scaling up.
Definitely a balance to strike. By the way, did you hear about the latest on those tech entrepreneurs getting hit with fraud charges? Everything's going haywire in the regulatory world.
Oh, I read about that. It's a mess. All these high-stakes fraud cases are making it hard for legit entrepreneurs to get a good night's sleep.
No kidding. Well, at least you're on the other side now. Maybe your next adventure should be in ethical tech startups. You could make a real change and avoid winding up in court.
That's a solid idea, Jack. Something with impact, but no jail time sounds good to me. All right, enough tech talk. Any recommendations for getting back into a creative groove while avoiding Wi-Fi drama?
Try going offline. Use uninstall those fancy lag-inducing painting softwares and stick to something simple, like a digital sketchpad with local saves. Embrace the basics again.
I like that idea. It's back to basics then, with a touch of my unique flair. Sounds like a plan.
Perfect. And maybe by our next chat, you'll have a new masterpiece and stable Wi-Fi. Well, folks, that about wraps up this episode of AI Unchained. We covered some pretty exciting ground today.
Absolutely, Jack. From the leaps in AI ethics shaping our technological future to the latest upheavals in Silicon Valley's startup scene, there was no shortage of hot topics.
And let's not forget the spirited debate we had on the regulatory landscape for big tech. Always a fiery topic with plenty of fireworks. Right, Core?
Indeed. Nothing like a good old-fashioned debate to get the juices flowing, but seriously, it's crucial that we keep having these conversations to stay informed and proactive.
Totally agree. And a big thank you to our audience for sticking with us through all the twists and turns. You guys are the reason we do this, and your engagement keeps us going each week.
Yes, thank you. Your feedback and support mean the world to us. And remember, we're always eager to hear your thoughts. So keep those comments and questions coming.
Final thoughts, Core? Anything you'd say to wrap this up with a neat little bow?
Just that we're living in an incredibly dynamic era where technology, business, and politics are intersecting more than ever. It's a wild ride, and I'm thrilled we get to navigate it together.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Well, thanks again for joining us today on AI Unchained. We hope you enjoyed our discussions and gained some valuable insights.
See you next time, everyone. Stay curious and keep questioning.
Take care, and don't forget to tune in next time for another round of engaging debates and cutting-edge discussions. Cheers.
Cheers, folks.